the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. A disease caused by rats is on the rise. And when is it the best time to get the latest COVID vaccine? Well, Dr. David Pate is joining us today to talk more about all of this. And remember, if you have a public health question, you can always send it to us through an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, so Dr. Pate, there is an article today, and I first saw it on ABC News, but it is about, and I hope I'm saying this right, leptospirosis. Can you tell
you
us
got
what
it.
This is? Okay, good. Can you tell us what this is?
Well, it's a condition, it's an infection that's caused by a bacteria that causes a medical condition called leptospirosis in somebody that's infected. And the way that you get infected is to have exposure to an infected animal's urine or body fluids. And so the story that you were referring to was associated with rats, which certainly are known to carry this disease. And it led to an outbreak I believe in a New York area, and then, but it can also infect almost any mammal that you can think of, and so cats can get infected, but they don't tend to really be bothered by this so much, and not a major player. Dogs are much more of an issue that if they are going out into like a hunting dog or dogs that go out where there's standing water, that ponds or very shallow rivers or creeks or things where rats or other animals that are infected might be urinating or having excrement, they can get it. But we also have very effective vaccines to protect dogs. It's two shots a month apart, and I think a lot of owners get their dogs vaccinated for this. So it's not a terribly big problem. We don't see a lot of cases, but when people are exposed to those kinds of infected animals and their urine and body fluids, people that work in shops where you're culling animals, that can be an issue. Veterinarians can be exposed. There are situations, but it's not a real common infection we deal with.
Well, and Dr. Pate, when I was reading this, New York health officials were saying that they think that because they're having a spike in these cases in New York City, and they're saying it's because they've had warmer and wetter weather. And so as I was reading, it was also saying, so can it be, is it basically something where, you know, let's say you're in the subway system, right? And I think this is where a lot of these cases have come from, is that if it's, I mean, it's warm, it's humid, right? There's moisture in the air. So it's not like you're necessarily, I know it's lunchtime, folks, so apologies, but it's not like you're necessarily, you know, putting your hand in a rat's urine. It could be, I'm thinking, you know, just that, that the fumes that come off the ground when it's wet and things like that.
Well, this bacteria is not very hardy. It's very sensitive to environmental conditions. So we typically don't see it survive to be able to expose people in like the wintertime. It's when it gets warmer and particularly wetter that this bacteria can survive. It doesn't survive very long, but and it would be important to and I'm sure the health department has interviewed these people that have been infected to determine how were they infected, because this is not a virus transmitted like measles or COVID, that kind of thing. You have to be in a lot more close contact. And so was there a problem that there were areas they weren't controlling trash, because rodents will certainly be attracted to that? Do they need to do a better job with the trash management? Are the rats being overgrown? Is it a rat management problem? Are these folks peoples that were homeless, that were hungry, searching through the trash that may have just been contaminated by a rat excrement. Those are the kinds of things that we have to research. My guess is it's not people that are normally just using the subway to get downtown or get to work or get to a show. It's probably people that were having much more interaction with that local environment in ways that normal people aren't going to do when they're traveling the subway.
So I also want to talk about another virus that's a lot more common here in Idaho, Dr. Pate, and that's hantavirus. And according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, just from 2021 to 23, so in a two-year period, and these are the latest statistics they have, there were 24 confirmed cases here in Idaho, but five of those were fatal. And we're kind of getting, I think, on the time of year, Dr. Pate, where maybe we could see more of this. So can we just start by you explaining what hantavirus is?
Yeah, so this is a nasty virus, and there's different forms of it. They get a different form of disease in, for example, in Europe than we get here in the United States. In the United States, people that get infected by hantavirus typically develop a pulmonary syndrome, a lung problem. And it's not real common, but you're right. It is much more common in the Western United States. There's actually more cases typically in California, Washington, and some of the southern states, southwestern states. But we do get cases here in Idaho. And typically, this is another one of those viruses that's spread by rodents. Deer mice are a particular prone for this and can transmit a form of this virus that's referred to as the Cinnobre virus. But it's all the hantavirus. And basically, you're not going to get this in cities, in urban areas. You're going to get this people that have maybe a farmhouse or a cabin out in the woods in a really rural area where there's lots of life, wildlife around. A lot of these mice and other rodents that can carry this. And what happens is, unlike the leptospirosis that we just talked about, where you really have to come in much more close contact with these, with the excrement. In this case, the rodent excrement can be aerosolized. So let's say, for example, you were to go, you know, you spent the winter here in Boise, but then you decide, you know, temperature's getting better. We're going to go out to our little cabin. And I'm not talking about a cabin in McCall. I'm talking about a cabin out in nowhere. And and you go in there, you know, there's been rodent problems. Now you get in there, you're going to sweep everything out and you start aerosolizing the urine and feces. That's when you can inhale the virus and get this lung syndrome. The tricky part is that initially the symptoms are going to be very flu-like. But one tip-off is we're getting towards the end of the time that you should be getting flu. So if you're getting flu-like symptoms, we need to be thinking about other things that as well. And then the real telltale sign is if you're getting that kind of a flu illness, fever, muscle aching, fatigue, but also on top of that, you're getting short of breath. That's the warning sign. And you need to go and get medical attention right away. And this is a very serious disease. Leptospirosis that we talked about earlier, we can treat that with antibiotics. This virus, we don't have a specific treatment for, but in the hospital, we can give you fluids, we can give you oxygen, we can support your breathing. But as you mentioned at the lead-in, unfortunately, the more people die, a higher percentage of people, rather, die from hantavirus than a lot of other viral illnesses. It's a bad one.
So, Dr. Pate, what can people do? Excuse me, I have a little tickle in my throat. Apologies. What can people do when they are going to maybe clean up their cabins? But I mean, even things like maybe a garage, right? That
you're
doing some spring cleaning for.
Yeah. So again, if it's an urban area, if you, you know, in a place where, you know, you're really, it's, you're still around a lot of other homes, domestic animals, those kind of things, probably not going to have a big risk. But if this is a place truly out kind of in the nowhere where a lot of people do have these kind of things, and you know there's rodents and wildlife and all, what I would do is, here's a great example where wearing that N95 mask can help protect you from breathing in that virus. I would, the first thing I would do is I'd open all the windows up. I would then put my, I'd just take a portable air purifier with me and my N95, and then just wear that while you clean out the cabin or garage or whatever. Once you've got it all cleaned out and everything, and if you're going to be staying there for a week or something, you don't have to keep worrying about it, but you want to, the risky part is while you're just getting it all cleaned out.
And I think it's really important, Dr. Pate, to go back to one, another thing that you said, and that's the air, getting this in the air, right? If you're sweeping or you're vacuuming up these, and we're not talking just about like their droppings, right? It could be a nest, right? Mice do this in the wintertime.
Yep.
You do not want to be, I mean, even, and I think it's almost counterintuitive, but like you do not want to even be sweeping these things up.
Yeah, what you want to do is just be careful, because if you sweep, if you're vacuuming, if you're power washing, you know, any of those kind of things, that's the kind of thing that, especially when you know there, you know, like, you know, there's mice, rats, those kinds of things around there. There's going to be urine, there's going to be excrement. And if they have the virus, then it's going to be in that excrement. And then when you all of a sudden, you know, start sweeping it, blowing it with a, you know, one of those blowers or power washing or vacuuming, you're stirring it up. And so that virus can get in the air. That's when you're going to be vulnerable. And so, like I said, I would just open everything up that you can. If it's just a door, open the door. If it's got windows, open the windows. Wear your N95 mask. Take a portable air purifier with you. Get it all dusted out, cleaned out, whatever. But then I'd go run, get my groceries, those kinds of things, give it a little chance to air out and all. And then once you got all that done, then you're going to be fine, unless you're leaving trash around where, you know, mice and rats or so forth are going to get in there while you're staying there. But if you're not doing that, you're going to be good after that.
And look, I know there are a lot of people listening who are probably very aware of this, but I think it's important to talk about this time of year, because we have had so many people who've moved into our area, who may not be from these Western states where this is common, and we do learn about this, Dr. Pate. So,
oh yeah,
right. So again, just for folks to know, as you said, it can be flu-like symptoms, and so you may just, you know, assume that that's what it is. But
right,
are there specific things that folks should be looking for if they aren't feeling good, maybe after they've cleaned out their garage or they've cleaned out a cabin, you know, something like that?
Yeah, the big telltale sign is if all of a sudden you're having significant fever, and you're going to feel really bad with this, most likely. But the key thing is, if you start thinking you're short of breath, you don't want to be out in the woods with fever and getting short of breath and no one else close by, no ambulance service close by. That's the time you need to get to the hospital, get checked. One other note is, in addition to what we talked about, again, if you're taking animals with you, and for example, your dogs, and you're going to let your dogs run outside and all, You know, you've got to be very careful for a number of different diseases that we've talked about. If your dog is likely to go around and maybe see a dead bird, a dead mouse, whatever, and is likely to bring that treat back into or over to you, you want to be very careful about that.
Okay, good advice. So, Dr. Payne, I want to turn now to the latest COVID vaccine, and here's why. We are about 5 weeks away from school getting out for the summer, which means summer travel is going to be starting. And in full transparency, I texted Dr. Pate last week because I wanted to know when my family should get this latest COVID vaccine, because Dr. Pate will be traveling abroad. And I just wanted to make sure, you know, that we don't get it too soon or we don't get it too late. And I'm thinking, you know, a lot of folks might have questions about this.
Yeah, and I think that's smart. I think there's a couple of things to keep in mind. Number one thing that we now have evidence of is the protection we previously got early on in the pandemic from either vaccines or infection lasted a lot longer than it lasts now. And so for those people that are at higher risk, either because of your age, underlying medical problems, or whatever, you really are not going to be protected from a prior vaccine or an infection if you're just getting the vaccine annually. And so certainly those folks, you should consider getting this mid-year booster of the update that was made available last fall. And so you should get that and not count on a prior infection or vaccine. You're probably not going to have much protection after a few months. So please consider that. As far as timing this dose of vaccine, which you asked a great question, when you've previously been vaccinated or infected or both, you're going to develop a pretty good response to the vaccine within a week. I generally tell people, you know, if you're getting ready to, you know, do a lot of traveling, and especially if you're going on a vacation, who wants to get, you know, even though most people aren't worried at this point about COVID killing them, it could ruin a vacation for you. What I suggest is about a week or 10 days before your travels, get that booster then, and you're going to be in a much better shape for airports, travel, being out places where, you know, if you got sick, you would have trouble navigating. Well, where can I see a doctor? Where can I get, you know, Paxlovid? Where can I, you know, if I need things, what hospital would I go to? There's just a lot of things to think about, but I would do it about 7 to 10 days before you're going to leave.
And does that matter, doctor? I mean, I would assume, you know, if you're traveling, you know, in particular, if you're going to be in airports and things like that, whether you're staying domestic or going abroad, you know, get that vaccine in that time frame.
Yes, that's right. And again, if you're at higher risk, or if you're really not wanting your vacation to be ruined, don't rely just on the vaccines. The vaccines are still going to protect you against getting severely ill. But, you know, the virus is still mutating a lot. And if you want to make sure that you avoid just getting sick because you're going to be doing something really fun, you don't want to miss out, or you're going to be seeing some people that might be at risk, you know, I know a lot of people don't, but I still wear my N95 when I'm traveling the airport. And because I always am making the decision, is what I'm doing worth taking a chance on getting sick and ruining what my plans are? And so just make that decision, but don't rely totally on the vaccine. But if you're at high risk, don't rely on a past vaccine from months ago or a year ago or more, or a past infection long ago. Those are not going to provide you with a lot of protection now.
So I've got about 2 minutes left, Dr. Payne. I want to get to a listener question from Carol. I can never say this right. Is it Guillain-Barré?
Guillain-Barré. There you go.
Guillain-Barré. Okay. So here's Carol's question. She says Guillain-Barré has been cited as a reason not to get the COVID vaccine and or the flu shot. I know it does happen, but isn't the risk of getting this much higher from getting the disease as compared to the vaccine? Also, is it correct that mRNA vaccines don't cause GB?
She's correct on all counts. So first of all, let's take influenza. So you can get Guillain-Barré syndrome. For people that don't know what that is, it's a neurologic problem of weakness or paralysis. It usually starts in your legs and moves up. It can be quite serious. Most people completely recover. A few don't. But that's Guillain-Barré. It can occur with infections, and it can occur with some vaccines. So here's the deal. Influenza. If you don't get vaccinated and get influenza itself, the infection, about 17 out of a million people will get Guillain-Barré syndrome. If you get the vaccine, it's about one person in a million. So 17 times higher risk with getting the infection than getting the vaccine. Now, COVID, the risk of getting Guillain-Barré with COVID is about 25 cases in a million. So still rare, but higher than influenza. But, and it's about six times higher that you would get Guillain-Barré from COVID than if you weren't infected. Vaccines actually reduce that risk. The vaccine that we have seen Guillain-Barré cases is the adenovirus vaccine, but that's the J&J vaccine. That has not been available in the United States for a couple years now. And she's right. We have not detected an increase of Guillain-Barré with mRNA vaccines or the Novavax one compared to what the baseline frequency is in the population. So very good question. She's right on all points.
So bottom line, still get your COVID vaccine and your flu vaccine.
That's right. Don't let somebody tell you, well, there's a risk of this if you get the vaccine, so don't get the vaccine. No, you need to compare. Well, what's the risk of getting that with the vaccine versus the risk of getting it with COVID or whatever the disease is? Because it's almost always much higher with the disease.
Mm-hmm. Well, as always, Dr. Pate, we so appreciate your time and expertise. And of course, we will talk with you next week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Gemma.
Thanks, Dr. Pate. We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. Remember, if you have a public health question for Dr. Pate, get it into us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.